Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Little Sins, Big Consequences, Self-Centeredness.
Our first scripture lesson this morning is taken from Romans chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. Let us together listen to this, the word of our Lord. Paul writes, "What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is free from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen."
And our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 24. "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?'" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me as we pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day provided to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are an ever-presence wherever we are, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. And so I have full confidence in you, Spirit, that you've already been speaking to our hearts, nourishing our souls. And so I ask you now that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This week, we conclude our series on little sins that have big consequences. And we come full circle to self-centeredness. Now, this sin becomes easy, but also difficult to define. Easy in that we can see it well enough in others. So we'll use words such as they're selfish, prideful, egotistical, vain. They're only looking out for themselves. How inconsiderate, among other words and phrases you might use. However, what makes this sin difficult to define is that hardly anyone can see it in themselves. I have yet to meet a person that would say, "I'm being self-centered." In fact, most people would justify their little sin of self-centeredness as the exception to the rule. After all, they weren't being selfish, just a little over-concerned. And it's not that they don't care, it's just that it's not a convenient time right now. If there is a sin that I believe all of us are guilty of, it is self-centeredness. But why is that? Is it cultural? Are Americans more prone to it? Is it learned by environment, from family and outside influences? Or, as some have argued, self-centeredness is at the core of what it means to be a human being, to survive and to thrive. And all these are good questions, and when thought out deeply, they may all have some merit to them. And perhaps in different times, I would have chased one of these questions down if it were not for the glaring reality that a lot of us are spending a lot more time thinking about and being with ourselves these days. Devoid of daily routines of contact with coworkers, peers, some of us even family, we've been asked to physically separate ourselves from one another for the cause of the common good. And I've noticed, though, some interesting insights during this whole season and during this time. Take, for example, my hands. I have never spent so much time in my life thinking about what I have touched and also thinking to myself, did that one time I touched my nose, was that the biggest mistake I'll ever make in my life? You know, the expression cleanliness is next to godliness. These hands are God tier A+. If these hands would be my salvation, they would get me into heaven for sure. Or, you know, the other day I was in the grocery store buying a few things, and you will not believe what happened. This lady sneezed in front of the bell peppers. I just shook my head and I said, how inconsiderate, how irresponsible to be doing that. And here I am judging this woman harshly over a sneeze, something that had it been last month, I would have not even thought about at all, would have not even come to my mind. But here I am just thinking about so many other ways and things about getting sick. But it's interesting that day that that lady sneezed, and I found myself judging her. Jesus all of a sudden showed up in the grocery store. I don't know if you know what that means, but for me, that means that all of a sudden Jesus brought this story, this narrative to my mind. And it's the story of Jesus and the lepers. You know, in Jesus' time, people would separate themselves from one another, and particularly from those who were sick, so that they wouldn't catch the disease of leprosy, but also so they wouldn't be unclean. But Jesus touched and ministered to them. And so here in the grocery store, kind of having an existential crisis, what do I do? Should I get the bell peppers, and why is Jesus speaking to me all of a sudden now? But I did think of something, because in preparation for this sermon, I thought to myself, have all these measures we have taken, have they made me perhaps a little bit more self-centered? If the main concern has been to not get sick and to avoid being around those who might be. If we define self-centeredness as looking out for ourselves, then yes, we are being self-centered. But Scripture is filled with many examples of God asking His people to think about themselves, on how they treat others, how their actions perhaps have distanced themselves from fellowship with God. God truly does ask us to look out for ourselves, because there is an eternal consequence if you don't. The problem, I believe, with self-centeredness and how we define it is that it is often defined by my own standard of what it means to be selfless. Remember what I said in the beginning. It's easy to see self-centeredness in others, but you can make excuses for yourself. That's why I believe that Scripture takes a more holistic approach and sees the sin of self-centeredness as a spiritual problem. Some have argued, and I believe rightly, that the sin of Adam and Eve wasn't just disobedience. The first sin was that they looked at themselves as the means of guidance, as the means of meaning and of survival. It's why Scripture says they immediately noticed that they were naked, something that they had never noticed about themselves before. And Scripture tells us this because something had fundamentally changed inside of them, their whole worldview, how they thought about themselves. And it's interesting how Scripture says and they felt ashamed for the first time. They began to focus on themselves. Unlike the sin of gossip, half-heartedness, and white lies that we go in and out of them, self-centeredness, I believe, is a constant battle. It's a constant reminder. And Jesus tells us why this is the case. It is an inherited sin. It is one that has come to define what it means to be a human being. You know, if you watch the news or read anything related to our world, you'll see violence, you'll see greed, corruption, destruction. And sometimes we'll say, well, what can we expect? Human beings have the capacity to be evil after all. It's almost like we have come to accept the reality that human beings, by some sort of definition, are just self-centered creatures. And that's why Paul, though, counters this argument by speaking about putting to death the old person and being found in Christ Jesus. Now, this language of the old person, you might be wondering, well, what does that mean? You know, maybe you're 20 years old watching me this morning and say, I don't feel old at all. I'm not an old person. Well, the old person, it is ancient language that means that we are all bound up in the self-centeredness of Adam and Eve. And the ramifications are evident. Selfishness, egotism, vanity, violence, among many others. So what is the solution to self-centeredness? I truly don't believe that it is to be more considerate, to be more giving, as if we can somehow outsmart and undo this sin. But rather, the answer becomes to first and foremost look at Jesus. When we look at Jesus, I believe that we find the true definition of what it means to be a human being. And remarkably, it is not self-centered. I really searched deep in my mind in notes that I had, and I could not think of one moment in the life of Jesus where he was self-centered like we are. Think about how Jesus responds to the threats of his life. Think about how he responds to the outcast and those whom he welcomes that are unspeakable. How honor and prestige were laid aside. Jesus lives this very human life that you and I have the ability to live, and he just lives it differently. I believe that Jesus, this morning, opens the door of what is true and available for us. We don't have to be defined by this old definition of what it means to be a human being, that we're selfish, we're self-centered. But rather, we can be defined by how Jesus lived, of those who have put to death their old ways, those who are baptized in Christ. Now, remarkably, this is complex stuff. I'm not going to lie to you. And from the very beginning in the church, this whole concept of what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus, to have died and risen with him, has been a puzzle, a mystery, and something that the church has always struggled to understand. So as best as I can, I'll simplify this. And the reason why I want to simplify it is because it is so important for us to grasp this reality if we are to be the humans, the people that God wants us to be. So what is Scripture really saying about all this stuff? Being in Christ, buried in Christ, baptized in Christ. What it's saying is that We also died with Christ on the cross with our sins. And we also rose to life with Jesus in his resurrection. So what is true of Jesus is now true of us. But here's the challenge. So if what is true of Jesus is true of us now, the challenge is actually a mathematical one. 2 + 2 = 4. It will never equal 3. It will never equal 5. Although I did have a friend tell me it could equal 6, but I have no idea how. But 2 + 2 will always equal 4. Now, it's the same for us, because when you add it up, everything that Jesus has done, the equation will always come out that you are in Jesus Christ. You have died in Christ, you have risen to life in Jesus Christ. That cannot change. But you might say, and I believe this because I say this myself, but I still experience selfishness, egotism, vanity, self-centeredness. And Paul would say, of course you do. We will keep sinning. This reality will not leave us in this life. But Paul is very mindful here in what John read for us this morning. Your shortcomings, though, do not mess up the equation. You are absolutely in Christ Jesus. What is true of him, that he has died to sin, that he has risen to life, is true of you today as well. We overcome this self-centeredness slowly and daily by not giving in to the voice that tells us we're still the old person and we can behave just like we used to. You know, resisting temptation isn't a matter of pretending that you wouldn't find it easier to give in. Resisting temptation is a matter of thinking straight and to act on what you know to be true. That's why verse 11 of what John read is a challenge. And I'm going to read it for you again, and I'm going to emphasize a certain word. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word consider. Paul says this is something you must actively do. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. It's why the answer to self-centeredness is not how good one can be, but to now put the words of Jesus in perspective. If any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Follow Jesus. Look at his life. If pride is your issue, look at how Jesus dealt with it. At the moment when his own friends wanted to esteem him, he bowed down and took a towel and cleansed feet. Look at how Jesus thought of others before he thought of himself. Touching the blind, healing the crippled, loving the lepers. The only answer to self-centeredness is Jesus, because he lives in us today. And we have now a new definition of what it means to be a human being. What it means to be human as the people of God is that we have died to sin and risen to life. And if that is the case, then we must consider that daily. And I believe that in that considering, you change and you're transformed and you become not a self-centered person, but you become like Jesus. And it's remarkable how that comes about. I want you to close your eyes with me this morning. I know you're sitting in your living room
or perhaps at your desk, but please close your eyes with me. And I'm going to invite the Spirit, Holy Spirit, right now to speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, I know, just like all of us, we struggle with some sort of self-centeredness in our lives. The difficulty, though, Lord, is that we can't see it. It's truly a blind spot for us. And so we need you to show it to us. And so, Spirit, I pray that you would show us the blind spots of our lives. But Lord, more than just showing us the blind spots, remind us of who we truly are. We are in Jesus Christ. The same life that he lived is available to us. And so, Lord, I believe wholeheartedly that we can be the people that God wants us to be. It will be a daily and a slow transformation, one that will take us all of our lives. But yet, Lord, it is a good challenge for us to consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive in Jesus Christ. Father, teach us your ways, your movements, your Spirit. Please speak to us, we pray, in these moments.